The Hits.
Hello, and welcome to Learning English, a daily 30-minute program from the Voice of America. I'm Ana Mateo. This program is for English learners, so we speak a bit slower, and we use words and sentences especially written for people learning English. Here are the stories we have for you on today's program. Dr. Jill Robbins brings us an education report about a speech problem called stuttering. Brian Lynn brings us a story about technology and the first mobile network on the moon. I will return with this week's words and their stories. We will finish our 30 minutes together with the making of a nation. But first, here is Dr. Jill Robbins.
About 3 million people in the United States, including a presidential candidate, find they sometimes stutter. It is a condition that causes people to repeat the beginning sound of words or whole words while speaking. At times, they even have trouble saying a word. People who stutter know exactly what they would like to say, but have trouble producing a normal flow of speech, making it difficult to communicate with others. Arthur Blank is the owner of the Falcons, an American football team in Atlanta, Georgia. He stutters. Other members of his family also stutter. Blank said, "Defining communication by how fluent you are doesn't get at the freedom of the inner person, the inner soul, the inner spirit, the inner mind, the intellect of what each person has to say and feel." Last week, he gave the University of Texas at Austin $20 million to create a new center for research and education into stuttering. It is called the Arthur M. Blank Center for Stuttering Research and Education. Courtney Bird, a professor of speech, language, and hearing sciences at the university, will lead the center. She said, "Our focus is on the person, not on the stuttering. We're teaching people as young as 3 years of age to adults over the age of 90. You can communicate effectively, and you can do so even if you continue to stutter." Last February, former Vice President Joe Biden spoke at a campaign event in New Hampshire. Biden spoke about his experience of learning to live with stuttering as a child. He talked about the anger he felt at school. He said other students and a teacher laughed at him for his stuttering. "It has nothing to do with your intellectual makeup," Biden said. Braden Harrington, a 13-year-old boy from Concord, New Hampshire, was at the event. Harrington is a person who stutters too. Biden asked Harrington to talk more about his experience. Biden shared that he had controlled his own stuttering by looking in the mirror while speaking. The presidential candidate also gave the boy a speech he had prepared. It had markings on its pages showing where Biden would take breaks and pause. That way, he said, words would come out more smoothly. Amber Doctorow works with students on speech problems at Montgomery County Public Schools in Silver Spring, Maryland. She told VOA that stuttering often begins in early childhood. Some children outgrow it, but others will not. She said a person who stutters may have thoughts that stop them from speaking, like,
"Oh, well, I'm going to stutter and then this is going to happen. I'm going to stutter and then they'll think that I'm stupid," or, "I'm going to stutter and then I won't be able to say what I want to say."
Or they may move their body or take a deep breath to try to stop the stutter. These things may only work for a little while, and then they stop working. Instead, she said, speech pathologists teach the person who stutters to overcome the problem by addressing the thoughts, feelings, and behaviors of stuttering, such as by reducing tension while speaking. The U.S. National Institutes of Health says, although there is no cure for stuttering, there are several treatments available. The health agency advises the following methods. Provide many chances for the child to speak, especially when the child is excited and has a lot to say. Listen carefully when the child speaks. Do not try to complete the child's sentences. And speak slowly. Talk openly and honestly to the child about stuttering if he or she brings up the subject. Let the child know that it is fine. Adults and older children with stuttering should learn to speak slowly and regulate their breathing. In the end, Doctorow said, being a person who stutters does not mean you cannot be an effective communicator. Joe Biden is one of many politicians, actors, and teachers who stutter. I'm Jill Robbins.
Now, here is Brian Lynn.
Nokia says it has been chosen by the American Space Agency NASA to build the first mobile phone network on the moon. The Finnish technology company recently announced that its Nokia Bell Labs division will build the lunar communications system. It said NASA will put the equipment on a lunar lander. The spacecraft is expected to reach the moon's surface in late 2022. Nokia's announcement comes as the space agency continues preparations for sending astronauts to the moon by 2024. NASA's Artemis program aims to establish a long-term human presence on the moon as a warm-up for future missions to the planet Mars. Earlier this month, NASA announced it had awarded $370 million to 14 companies to provide technology for the moon landing program. The space agency also signed a deal for the development and testing of improved lunar landing systems. And it is seeking private companies to mine rocks and other resources on the moon. The Nokia agreement was included in NASA's latest awards to private companies. The space agency said it is paying the company $14.1 million to build the mobile network. Nokia said its network will provide critical communications for work astronauts will need to perform on the moon. This will include remote control of lunar vehicles and other equipment, real-time navigation activities, and high-quality video streaming. All the equipment will be designed to survive difficult launches, lunar landings, and extreme conditions in space. Nokia said the equipment is designed to configure or set up the 4G LTE communications network on its own. Marcus Weldon is Nokia's chief technology officer. Weldon said he sees the 4G LTE system as a necessity to support a sustainable human presence on the lunar surface. I'm Brian Lynn.
And now, words and their stories from VOA Learning English. One of the most well-known signs of Halloween is the jack-o'-lantern. You can find jack-o'-lanterns on the front steps of countless American homes on October 31st, Halloween night. Decorating a pumpkin for the holiday can be a lot of fun, especially for children. Many people buy a pumpkin from a store or from a real pumpkin patch on a farm. Making a jack-o'-lantern takes time and at least one good sharp knife, so make sure you have plenty of both. This is why young children do this activity with someone older. First, cut off the stem or top of the pumpkin, but don't throw it out. You will need it later to finish the jack-o'-lantern. Now reach your hands inside the pumpkin and remove everything inside. And yes, it will feel slimy. Next, make a picture of a face or something else on the skin or rind of the pumpkin. Then carefully cut along the lines of your artwork. Finally, put a candle or some other lighting inside to light up the design you have cut. And there, you have turned a pumpkin into a jack-o'-lantern. Now, you might have a few questions. For example, why does the term jack-o'-lantern have a man's name, Jack? Merriam-Webster's online dictionary gives one explanation. It says people in England began using the term in the 17th century. It meant a man with a lantern or a night watchman. At that time, people living in England reportedly called a man they did not know Jack. So an unknown man carrying a lantern was sometimes called Jack with the Lantern or Jack of the Lantern. Your next question might be, but what does this have to do with Halloween? Merriam-Webster and Encyclopedia Britannica both say the term jack-o'-lantern comes from a very old Irish story about a man named Stingy Jack. As the story goes, he tricked the devil to get money. When Jack died, God refused to let him go to heaven. And the devil, still angry about being tricked, did not allow Jack to go to hell either. So Jack's punishment was to wander the earth forever. His soul was stuck. And like most spirits trapped on earth, he probably spent most of his time trying to frighten humans. At least that's what I imagine trapped souls would do. To protect themselves and frighten away Jack's wandering soul, people in Ireland would carve scary faces on turnips. I suspect that turnips were a common root vegetable at the time. When Irish families moved to the United States, they brought this tradition with them. These immigrants began carving jack-o'-lanterns from pumpkins, which were more common than turnips in their new home.
Halloween is based on the Celtic celebration from ancient times. It marked the end of summer. It was believed that during this time of the year, the souls of those who had died that year would return to visit their homes. Encyclopedia Britannica goes on to explain that in the 8th century, the Roman Catholic Church moved All Saints' Day, a religious day, to November 1st. This meant that All Hallows' Eve, or Halloween, fell on October 31st. Traditions from the old Celtic celebration remained, such as wearing costumes to hide yourself from the souls of the dead, and carving jack-o'-lanterns. Today, people who celebrate Halloween continue to do both. And that's Words in Their Stories. Until next time, I'm Anna Mateo.
Welcome to The Making of a Nation, American History in VOA Special English. In the summer of 1858, two candidates campaigned across the state of Illinois for a seat in the United States Senate. That seat belonged to Stephen Douglas from the Democratic Party. He was seeking re-election. His opponent was a lawyer from the newly established Republican Party. His name was Abraham Lincoln. This week in our series, Frank Oliver and Larry West tell us about this campaign of statewide but also national importance.
Abraham Lincoln proposed that he and Stephen Douglas hold several debates. The rules for each debate would be the same. One man would speak for an hour. His opponent would speak for an hour and a half. Then the first man would speak for half an hour to close the debate. Douglas agreed. There were seven debates in all. They were held in towns throughout Illinois. In some places, there was great interest in what the two candidates had to say. Thousands of people attended. Douglas was a short, heavy man. One reporter said he looked like a fierce bulldog. Douglas' friends and supporters called him the Little Giant. Lincoln was just the opposite. He was very tall and thin, with long arms and legs. His clothes did not fit well, and he had a plain face, one which many thought was ugly. He looked more like a simple farmer than a candidate for the United States Senate.
The Lincoln-Douglas debates covered party politics and the future of the nation. But everything the two men discussed was tied to one issue, slavery. Douglas spoke first at the first debate. He questioned a statement made in one of Lincoln's campaign speeches. Lincoln had said that the United States could not continue to permit slavery in some areas while banning it in others. He said the Union could not stand so divided. It must either permit slavery everywhere or nowhere. Douglas did not agree. He noted that the country had been half slave and half free for 70 years. Why, then, he asked, should it not continue to exist that way? The United States was a big country. What was best for one part might not be best for another.
Then Douglas questioned Lincoln's statement on the Supreme Court's Dred Scott decision. Lincoln had said he opposed the decision because it did not permit Negroes to enjoy the rights of citizenship. Douglas said he believed the decision was correct. He said it was clear that the government had been made by white men for white men. He said he opposed Negro citizenship. "I do not accept the Negro as my equal," Douglas said, "and I deny that he is my brother. However," he said, "this does not mean I believe that Negroes should be slaves. Negroes should enjoy every possible right that does not threaten the safety of the society in which they live. Every state and territory must decide for itself what these rights will be. Illinois decided that Negroes will not be citizens, but that it will protect their life, property, and civil rights. It keeps from Negroes only political rights and refuses to make Negroes equal to white men. That policy satisfies me," Douglas said, "and it satisfies the Democratic Party."
Then Lincoln spoke. First, he denied that the Republican Party was an abolitionist party. "I have no purpose," he said, "either directly or indirectly, to interfere with slavery where it exists. I believe I have no legal right to do so, nor do I wish to do so. I do not," Lincoln said, "wish to propose political and social equality between the white and black races. But," he went on, "there is no reason in the world why Negroes should not have all the natural rights listed in the Declaration of Independence, the right to life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness." "I agree with Judge Douglas," Lincoln said, "that the Negro is not my equal in many ways, certainly not in color, perhaps not mentally or morally. But in the right to eat the bread that his own hand earns, he is my equal and the equal of Judge Douglas and the equal of every living man."
Lincoln then defended his statement that the United States could not continue half slave and half free. He said he did not mean that customs or institutions must be the same in every state. He said it was healthy and necessary for differences to exist in a country so large. He said different customs and institutions helped unite the country, not divide it. But Lincoln questioned if slavery was such an institution. He said slavery had not tied the states of the Union together, but had always been an issue that divided them. How had the country existed half slave and half free for so many years? Lincoln asked. Because, he said, the men who created the government believed that slavery was only temporary. Once people understood that slavery was not permanent, the crisis would pass. Slavery could be left alone in the South until it slowly died. That way, Lincoln said, would be best for both the white and black races.
Stephen Douglas and Abraham Lincoln were campaigning for a Senate seat from the state of Illinois. But their debates had national importance, too. Douglas expected to be the Democratic candidate for president in 1860. His statements could win or lose him support for that contest. Whenever possible, he tried to show that he was a man of the people, like Lincoln. He tried to show that his Democratic Party was a national party, while the Republican Party was a party only of the North. And he tried to show that Lincoln's policies would lead to civil war.
Lincoln, for his part, may have looked like a simple farmer, but he was a very smart lawyer and politician. He asked questions which he knew would cause trouble for Douglas. He wanted to create a split between Douglas and his supporters in the South. Lincoln also wanted to keep alive the debate over slavery. That, he said, is the real issue. That is the issue that will continue in this country when these poor tongues of Judge Douglas and myself are silent. It is the eternal struggle between right and wrong.
In Illinois in 1858, the state legislature chose the men who would represent the state in the National Senate. So Stephen Douglas and Abraham Lincoln had to depend on legislative support to get to Washington. On Election Day, the legislative candidates supporting Lincoln won 4,000 more popular votes than the candidates supporting Douglas. But because of the way election areas had been organized, the Douglas Democrats won a majority of seats. The newly elected legislature chose him to be senator.
Lincoln was sad that he had not won, but he said he was glad to have tried. The campaign, he said, gave me a hearing on the great question of the age, which I could have had in no other way. And though I now sink out of view and shall be forgotten, I believe I have made some marks which will tell for the cause of civil liberty long after I have gone. Many people, however, did not think Abraham Lincoln would be forgotten. His campaign speeches had been published everywhere in the East. His name was becoming widely known. People began to speak of him as a presidential candidate. To win the presidential election of 1860, the Republican Party had decided it needed a man of the people. He must be a good politician and leader. He must be opposed to slavery, but not too extreme. Many people thought Lincoln could be that man.
After the election in Illinois, Lincoln made several speaking trips in the western states. In none of his speeches did he say he might be a candidate for president in 1860. If anyone said anything about Lincoln for president, he would answer that he did not have the ability. Or he would say there were better men in the party than himself. Lincoln said, "Only events can make a president." He would wait for those events.
And that is our program for today. Thank you for listening. Join us again tomorrow to learn English through stories from around the world. I'm Anna Mateo.